I'm Tommy Gimler. It appears as though the only thing bigger than Juan Uribe's appetite is his penis. We'll tell you why.
Oh, my. That and more to come. I'm the fabulous T-Sean, and with the conclusion of the fabulous Stanley Cup playoffs, way to go, Pens, we have a new team in Vegas. Baby Vegas. Rolling sevens on ice.
Coke benders and hockey pucks.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
All right, we're the fabulous duo tonight. The lovely T'Shawn Phillips and myself here tonight. Tough to get some people in. Brady Matthews hanging out in Plano, Texas. I think he extended the trip. That might be the first time ever somebody's gone to Plano, Texas and extended the trip.
That's probably more one of the more apt names for a town, right?
Plano.
Like, that's probably a really boring place.
Got any fast food joints? Nope. Got a stack of Noonie Megs this high. That's about it. Adam Ferberg spending time with the girlfriend tonight. It was great.
Ooh, la, la.
You remember Adam Ferberg, great guy. Yeah. Our new favorite Jew here at the Daily Upper Decker. He had to choose tonight.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's resume, but that's a resume builder right there. Resume material. Top Jew at the dud. So he had to choose tonight. Do I do the Daily Upper Decker podcast or do I kind of not cancel on my girlfriend again? Because as a stand-up comic, you end up doing that all the time. Somebody calls and says, "Hey man, I got a spot open at Flappers." And he's like, "You know, well, I was supposed to get my girlfriend's flapper tonight." So you got to choose between flappers, you know?
Well, I wish that had been a vote on the Daily Upper Decker. Like, you know, should he come and do his responsibility on the Dudcast? Or should he stay home and flap his lady?
Yeah, but that doesn't have the same ring as the latest dud poll. So ding, ding, we've got a new dud poll. Would you drop cash on a Muhammad Ali sex tape? So did you hear about this? Muhammad Ali has a sex tape? We might as well start out the hot mess, right, with this. Let's start out the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Apparently, one of his ex-girlfriends says that she has sex tapes of Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
So they were with like multiple women
how far back are we going? Was this shit
well,
on,
I hope
like,
it was before he started getting the shakes. Hopefully it was before the late 80s. Otherwise, the Doug, who writes from time to time, said if it's after 1985, then they're, instead of Porky's, it's Porkinson's.
Oh.
1, 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, he went there. It was great. It was the biggest laugh I got. I know it was so wrong. It was the biggest laugh I got on Sunday. It was amazing.
I don't know, but maybe that little extra little shimmy is like what gives the extra level of delight.
You never know. You
gotta Plus, he doesn't say anything. You know, it's usually the ladies just like, just shut up and fuck me. and Ali was he couldn't say it, and he was just banging away.
Well, it's one of the things in the dud poll. So what we did is we finally put a new dud poll up. We haven't gotten these up as often as we should. So for the remainder of 2016, we're going to get a new one up there every single week. That's what I want to do. So the latest dud poll, go to dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Daily Upper Deck. And you can also find us on The Vine as well. Latest find right now, Juan Uribe taking a 106-mile-an-hour baseball to the stones.
Oh, man.
In super slow-mo, too. So, the new dud poll, make sure you go and answer, dailyupperdecker.com. Would you drop cash on a Muhammad Ali sex tape? You have three choices. Hell's yes, I'm sure it's the greatest, and I'm saying that even before I know it is. Choice number two, sure, I'll pay a few bucks to see if he could make a lady shake more than he did. And number three, no, but if you've got one of Prince Fielder and Yu Darvish tag-teaming Mitch Moreland's wife, let's talk.
Oh, there we go.
Three choices.
I wouldn't pick C. It's got to be the greatest, man. And, though if he stings like a bee, that does sound like a little dainty for Muhammad in the sack. But, why not? I would pay, I don't know if it's good money, but I would pay something maybe.
Well, so the woman is looking for over $100,000.
I wouldn't pay that much, I personally.
But there are so many people. Like, who's the one dude? Martin Scorsese, the one dude who bought the Wu-Tang album? Does he not have more? Did you hear about this guy? All right, so this guy is like the biggest asshole on the planet. If you think Trump's an asshole, multiply it by 10. You get Martin Scorsese. I think that's it. I don't even care how you pronounce his last name. He's just an asshole.
All right.
So you're better off not knowing who he is. So this dude got the rights. He paid for the, I don't know, it's a patent or whatever it is. He paid for the AIDS drug. It's now
his. It's this guy.
And
okay,
then he hyped
I do
it like 200
guy,
or 300 some percent.
Yeah, like,
or,
no,
more
like
than 5,000%.
Yeah,
it was crazy, yeah.
Like it's, it was like a drug that cost like $1.12.
Well, I can't count that high.
Well,
I end at like 200, 300.
As you started talking, I clued into this dude. Yeah, if he's the big, he is the biggest douche.
So he doesn't have another $100,000 lying around to buy Muhammad Ali sex tapes and put him up on like X Hamster for free? Come on, at least he would at least like kind of come back down off the asshole like pedestal if he did that.
He just has to sell like 3 pills for that, like based on what the current cost is. It's kind of outrageous, right?
Right now, 9 people have voted, and the winner right now is no. But if you've got one of Prince Fielder and Yu Darvish tag teaming Mitch Moreland's wife, let's talk. Followed closely with 4 votes. Sure, I'll pay a few bucks to see if you could make a lady shake more than he did. So make sure you head on over to the Daily Upper Decker.
I'm really the only one that picked yes. That's interesting.
No, there's 4 people who have.
Oh, all right. So, but the winner though is the tech team.
So far, you have the rest of the week. We're not going to put up a new dud poll until.
I mean, maybe if it was Cecil Fielder, right? Now we had something.
Prince Fielder and Cecil Fielder.
Father,
God, imagine
team?
If they
come
still
on.
Got along. They hate each other, though. If they
oh,
still
they
got
really?
Along,
I
bet you
that
would be happening right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, come on. Boom. That's... Talk about high-fiving.
So, like, would you personally, like, if someone said, hey, you got to watch this. This is Muhammad Ali at a gumbo party. So the woman said, hey, it's him at these gumbo parties. This is what she said. There would be Ali and a few of his guys and then about a dozen or more girls. All of them were stunning. Muhammad couldn't keep away from a pretty girl whether he was married or not. The tapes show them having sex. They used to call them gumbo parties because it was a mix of everything.
Sounds like being a Muslim is not so bad, right? Jeez.
That's right. Yeah, well, I think some of these took place when he was still Cassius.
Cassius. Well, Cassius he had some swagger then. I guess he always had swagger, but.
I bet you, like, if I had to guess, he was probably a ride in the sack. Or did he give everything he had, like, ahead of the camera and everything in the ring to where he was just like a dead fish in the sack?
Yeah, you know, I think some fighters abide by that, right? Like, where it's like, no, I can't bang before a fight because, you know, I'll lose my mojo. Mm-hmm. I'll waste it all on some floozy. And then others, like, need it to, like, I know I got to make my, you know, I got to really rise with my libido, you know, constantly, you know, feeling it. I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, that's a great, yeah, put that one on the old dud there as a voting. Would you, if you were a fighter.
Would you have sex before a fight?
Yeah. And
no, you got to keep the angst in. Like you can't. I wouldn't jerk off for like 2 months up to the fight.
You're in that camp. You're in that camp.
Oh, yeah.
I would definitely try and bang as much as possible because you never know when you'll lose and fall from your pedestal and then no one wants to bang you again. So,
I'd probably do some like Opus Dei shit if I was a fighter. Like I would sit like watching like late night Skinamax and
tough.
Instead of like doing anything about it, I would just be sitting there whipping myself or like, you know, wrapping some 40-pound chains around me and stuff like that. You got to build up that angst so much that you turn into an albino dude and go over and like start killing people.
You just
who want
are looking
Tom for
Hanks
the,
to come chase you around. I mean,
Opus Dei. Anyway, Muhammad Ali's sex tapes. Check out the story on dailyupperdecker.com. Moving on here in the hot mess.
The hot mess.
The biggest story in sports right now is a nut shot from Draymond Green. So, of course, the Cavaliers extended the NBA Finals, which means when they actually play Wednesday night, it's going to be a full 2 months that they've been playing. The NBA playoffs, a full 2 months, April 16th to June 15th. That is a full 2 months that they've been playing the NBA finals.
No, I never agreed with moving the first round to 7 games, you know, best of 7. I always thought it was just right at 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then let's move on.
Well, I think you can do 7, but play some back-to-backs for Christ's sake.
I guess so, but you know they're not going to do that. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Like I'm like, but I mean, obviously you get to make more money, but you know, from the player standpoint and the player representative standpoint, it's more games to get hurt and all that, you
right.
know, and it's like, it gets a little, you know, it's a little much. The season's not even over and, you know, the Warriors already have the record most games of all time.
But we are a soft, soft nation.
We are.
We can't play back-to-back basketball
games. I know.
And you could even spread it out. You know, baseball plays games at like 9-something in the morning out here because on the East Coast it's 12:35, so it's 9:35 out here.
Right.
So why not start like an East Coast game at like 1 in the afternoon? So it's 10 o'clock, and you know, you could have all 8 games in one day and make it like something like the NCAA tournament where it's like, I got to take off work today. It's day one of the NBA playoffs and all eight games are going on. And then you do it again the next night. Everybody's got a back-to-back the first night.
Well, you know, when I was younger, only a little bit younger, but no, much younger, I when we do basketball tournaments, we go, I was on like a travel team and such. We play the whole damn tournament in one day. You could play up to like four or five fucking games in a day. And that's how it was. So, you know, you're right. It seems a little ridiculous. They can't play like 2 days in a row individual games.
Yeah, in grade school, that's the way it was when you did the grade school tournament. Yeah,
you're not fucking staying overnight and the fucking, you know, the Hilton partying it up. No, fuck that. No, you're playing all the games, you're going home, and then you're eating SpaghettiOs.
Did I ever tell you about the sixth grade basketball tournament that I was in on my birthday? It was my 12th birthday. Sixth grade tournament. I never told you.
Do tell. Do tell.
So to keep the story short, I didn't hit one shot on my birthday, and I was a starter. I didn't hit one shot. No points the entire day. Mm. Not one shot. So we come down to the finals because we had a kid who went on to play Division I college basketball at UW Green Bay. His name is BJ LaRue, just unbelievable guy, unbelievable talent.
That sounds like a made up guy, like
BJ LaRue, and he's
like
white.
The sixth guy from Blue Chips that they couldn't include in the movie.
He would have been better than the guy who demanded a tractor. He was good. BJ LaRue.
Then he went right out of sixth grade to college.
He could have, man. He was that good. He was actually a tennis sensation as well. He was one of those guys who was just good at every sport. Didn't matter. He was probably great in the sack too. So he So BJ LaRue was the stud. He basically like carried this team. We had a couple of other big guys, Big Dale in the center, and the coach's kid was okay actually. And we make it all the way to the final game. And at the end of regulation, it's tied. Well, the way they settled it, you didn't go to overtime. It was sudden death free throws. Okay. So, but it was like whoever went first, if whoever went first missed it, then the other guy would still have to hit it. Like the next team would send up a guy, and you had to hit that free throw. If they missed it, then it would happen again.
Well, you did it like as if it was like soccer, right?
Right. Yeah. But instead of hockey. Doing like all five, it was like let's say the first guy who went would have made it, and then the second guy missed, then it's over.
Right.
So we're playing against Clarendon. I went to Section Elementary School against Clarendon. Yeah. The poor kids.
The plot
Clarendon.
Thickens.
Poor kids. Yeah. So this kid, Kevin Usarek, hits the free throw for Clarendon. Pressure free throw, right? So then, but even more pressure was on BJ LaRue. He had to come up and hit the next free throw. If he misses this free throw, we lose on that free throw. And he's the best kid in the entire tournament. But while we were in the circle, the coach huddles us over. So he goes, all right, free throws. He points at BJ. He's like, you're first. Obviously, you're number one. Then he points at me. He's like, you're number two. And then he goes over.
Was that a mistake? You were like,
I think so. I think like his son must have been sitting behind me or something. And he accidentally pointed at me. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, are you fucking mad? Have you seen my shot today? I'm terrible. I'm a bad basketball player. I can't hit anything. So he makes me number two. So BJ hits his pressure shot. It was amazing. Just swish. Next kid, Sean Nelson from Clarendon, goes up, clanks it off the back of the iron. So then I get up there. It's my birthday. I haven't hit a shot.
And you can end it right here.
And I can end it if I hit it. So and it's like I'm not even like, you know, when BJ shot, he's got his feet down on the free throw line and he shoots and it's perfect. I'm like jumping from the free throw line, you know, when I'm shooting. So I jump, it hits the backboard, hits the front of the rim, and then drops straight in. And everyone mobs me out at like I'm crying like I had just like lost basically, you know, and I'm out there, which is like one of the greatest moments of my life, especially at that point. Yeah, especially considering a couple years earlier I had a hernia surgery. So that was like definitely the highlight of my life at that point.
That feels early for hernia surgery.
I don't think my balls dropped correctly.
They did a little stitched. Oh, there they are. Oh,
yeah. Well, my parents said that I like tried lifting a cooler when I was younger, and then I had a hernia. But I, based on like the timing of when
lifting
I had
a cougar,
it,
like a delightful looking older woman.
I don't think they called them cougars at that point. Okay. They just called them ugly. They were not in 1984. So That's that story.
Oh, that's a good story, though. Yeah,
it
that's
is.
Good.
Now, tying it back into what we were doing here, the main story of the NBA Finals, somehow, speaking of, it kind of ties in, the hernia,
because
my balls didn't drop.
Right.
Which makes this story even that much more important is the fact that Draymond Green keeps hitting people in the balls.
I know. They wish their balls didn't drop just yet.
Then it wouldn't hurt.
And they fucking smash them.
They wish
them.
They were eunuchs running around out there. So here's the thing. If you go on social media, if you go on any of these sites, like you listen to Stephen A. Smith, Stephen A. Smith, this is what he had to say about it. Everybody is like saying that the NBA shouldn't have suspended Draymond Green. And here at the Daily Upper Decker, T-Shawn, the fabulous T-Shawn, and Tommy Gimler, myself, we want to take the stance that no, he should be suspended.
Yeah. No, I actually believe that, you know, and let's recap. Obviously, it was talked about a lot, you know, certainly at the first,
Stephen Adams, Oklahoma City.
Right. That first moment there, and that's, you know, it seemed, and they, you know, what kills me about it too is how much fucking time they spend during the actual game of assessing these.
Like, yeah.
Whatever the graver levels of fouls are now. It's like, it's
flagrant one,
really,
flagrant two.
Really absurd, you know. Yeah. And anyway, they go over it, and the game could be stopped for like a genuine, like a real time 10 minutes.
Yeah, correct.
As they go over, you're like, what the fuck?
And meanwhile, you got like Jeff Van Gundy dissecting a kick to the nuts.
Right.
It's like part of it's fun, but it's like I've heard enough, man.
Yeah. Well, you bring him in for a bite to the leg, but not for a kick to the nuts, right? I mean, come on, it's Van Gundy. Anyway, but yes, but that looked pretty deliberate.
Right, the first
to
one
me,
did.
Like, I'm like, I understand sort of a follow-through flop trying to get there's a bit of that, but at the same time, like, I mean, if you're sending down, like, that dude is gigantic, Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're sending him down, then you gave it a little extra oomph, and deliberately so. And he should have been kicked out of that game. Like, it just, out of that game. I'm not saying further games, just the end of that game, whatever that level of flagrancy is.
And you and I were talking about it, too, that at the end of the game, and the next day, they were like, is he going to be suspended? Is he not going to be suspended? Yeah. So they didn't suspend him. They said it was an accident. But then they fined him $25,000. Well, if it was an accident, why are you fining him anything?
No, it's the full OJ. It is. It's the full OJ.
The OJ Simpson.
Innocent
of all charges, but you owe us $27.2 million.
You know, it's like, if the balls didn't come off, I must scoff. I don't know. I don't know what the fucking rhyme is for it, but I mean, fuck,
his foot didn't hit, so you must have quit.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's better.
All right, but let's say you're out playing a game of street hoops. And you accidentally pop someone in the jimmy, right?
Yeah.
You pop him in there, and you know what's the first thing you do? Oh man, I'm sorry. Like I didn't mean that. Like the NBA players, it's a brotherhood.
Oh, I usually step on the hand, so you can't really get up, man. You kind of grind it, right?
Just to make sure.
You're just like, I hope that was your shooting hand.
Yeah, you step on his hand just to make sure that his balls don't hurt anymore. Because if you step on his hand hard enough, his balls aren't going to hurt anymore. So we already had that happen. And then we were talking about in game one, he tried doing the same thing to Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie Irving was a much better athlete than Stephen. Yeah, he jumped out of the way. Yeah. And that one kind of went unnoticed. Right. And then he just punched.
Well, here's the thing. So if you miss, right, it's tough to, you know, it's kind of like, it's like, you know, when, if we're going to use like, you know, murder style comparisons, like, you know. There is the, you know, you can shoot at a guy meaning to kill him and then you miss because you're terrible at shooting, right? You just don't get in as much trouble, right? So I understand, but it did seem like he was trying to go after it and Kyrie was elusive, which good for him. He's got some young nuts. He's got to preserve those.
Right. They're still working.
Got a lot of fucking to do.
Right.
Yeah. And then he's just like, fuck the kicking. I'm going to go with what is even more accurate.
Well, so the punch to the balls and LeBron is what did him in, but it's almost like the Aaron Hernandez story, right? Except Draymond Green didn't murder anybody, and I don't think the punch was enough to, like, murder LeBron's ability to have a kid either. But with Aaron Hernandez is he kept fucking shooting people, and he kept getting away with it, so he was like, I'm invincible.
Yeah.
It was like the greatest thing. It was like when the bad guy in The Last Action Hero, like, comes to New York in real life and shoots somebody, and he's like, I have shot somebody, and he is dead. And everyone's like yelling at him, like, shut the fuck up, go to bed. No one, like, cares. And that was Aaron Hernandez. And it's like, if you go out and you keep killing people or shooting people and you don't get in trouble for it, you're going to keep doing it. Well, Draymond Green kept hitting people in the nuts and didn't get in trouble for it, so he kept doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he's still not really, like, people still, like you began the talk, it's people have sided with him over the people who have been
Nutshot Johnson.
Ball massacred, you know. Yeah. It's like, I don't understand this. And it's weird that in general there's like a kind of a, because it's like the beloved Warriors now. Mm. And it, somehow it's like anti-LeBron when, like, truthfully, this guy has done, in the scheme of our most important pro athletes, I hate to kind of put him on that kind of a weird pedestal, but he is. Like, he's the most visible, he's, you know, global figure, the whole kit and caboodle, like the best player. I will still maintain that. And he gets the shit on it. Like, how does he get the shit?
So we talked about this. We talked about, like, the decision is where that was his downfall. But right. What no one talks about is how he raised $3 million for a local charity by doing that. By ESPN approached him and said, hey, we want to do this. We'll give you $3 million for it. And he donated it all to a charity. No one ever talks about that.
Yeah, that's a crazy overlooked thing. And mind you, like, yeah, it was a terrible gimmick, like, overall. Like, definitely a made-for-TV weird kind of thing that it shouldn't have gone down that way. But given that fact, like, demonstrate the other side. Like, you know, show, like, well, this was done for other reasons other than just being a big showboat about oneself. And yeah, if he's come on, that's not just $25,000. Like, that's like
$3 million
real money. I mean,
and I don't know if it was like a Boys and Girls Club, but whatever it is, whatever I don't care who you donate it to.
Whatever it is, like,
and plus there's indirectly what he's done for the city of Cleveland. Like, before he was there, you know, he was there, and then he left. When he left, there was already like a record number of heroin overdoses. Like, imagine if LeBron wasn't there. Like, he's given that city hope. I mean, who is it after LeBron James? Josh McCown? He's supposed to keep people from putting needles in their arms, you know, and the Indians, Carlos Santana,
Tyler Naquin.
He does
it one man at a time, though. He goes house to house. Like, he's not an influencer from like a broad scope, but he's more of a like a knock on the door and I'll save your ass kind of guy.
I told you fuckers from Jehovah's Witness to get off my porch. No. I'm just here to tell you not to do heroin. Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
that's great. You're a good guy.
He's a special guy, but LeBron, like, I wonder where else. So you think it's just the decision is what turned a general landscape of like basketball fans or even just sports fans.
And well, then on top of that, so I think after that, it was like he had to be. It was like a zero tolerance policy with the public at that point. So you better be like just a stud from here on out and super lovable. And then he came out and he's like, not four, not five, not six, you know, and shit like that. And it was just like, Jesus Christ, this dude, you know? So that's where lost everybody.
I didn't really favor it at the time. I'm like, hey, you're going overboard here. But he, you know what he was doing? He was hanging with his buddies. Mm-hmm. And that's what that talk was. That was another ill-conceived, like, televised thing.
It wasn't a banana boat at SeaWorld with Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade, but it might as well have been. That's for sure.
I don't know. Like, it seems if that's the only terribleness he's done, like, come on,
raising people. $3 million.
Come on, people. Well, and then been like a little braggy about like what he may potentially win. And the fact is, like, you know, they were pretty fucking good, the Heat, at that point, right? Like, they won. He got his two championships. And no, he will not match Jordan, you know. Mm-hmm. Kobe didn't match Jordan, right? Like, so if we're looking at it from these certain standpoints, it's a funny thing. Like, how LeBron, he's not reviled, but it's like people just, you know, I don't know. I guess it's just your normal case of when someone's been on top for so long, right? Like, you just, like, it's the American way to, like,
right,
just shit on.
Especially now with social media, but we'll get Rakish on it to figure out what the word reviled means. But it doesn't sound good. But so think about that. Like, what's the worst thing that LeBron James has ever done? The decision. So in his worst moment, he still raised $3 million for charity.
Right. That's
in my worst moment. I think I gave my wife HPV. You know, so there's in that moment. Well,
what's nice is that you're not the worst guy ever either. It's not as
I'm
good
sure it
as
was the dude before me. I don't think it was me.
It's not as good as raising any sort of money.
She told me she slept with some dude in Guatemala. I'm sure they're not checking for that shit down there.
It's a water thing, you know.
So think about that. Like, in your worst moment, like, people were hurt. You know, like, I once got in with a girl who was like, who would close out all the guys because she was so insecure about this birthmark that she had on her head. And it wasn't like one of these red birthmarks. It was like a big mole, like this
Gorbachev big. Gorbachev style?
No. Yes. Well, no, because but Gorbachev would have been better. Because eventually that shit fades away. This was like a big, like, mole, like, gigantic, like this on her head. And she always wore bangs, so I never saw it. But she was a really good girl. Dutch McTavish, McTavish knows who she is.
Wow.
So, really good girl. And she let me come back to her dorm room that night. And we probably fucked around more than she had, we went further than she had ever gone with any other dude. And in the morning, I woke up, took a whiz, came back to the dorm. And I was looking at her pictures while she was sleeping. And I'm sitting there looking, and I'm like, every single one, she had like a dot on her forehead. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I go up in the bed, and I raise her bangs, and I'm like, hey, good morning. And she's got this big thing on her head, and I'm like, oh. And I never talked to her again. That's a dick move. That's one of my lowest moments of all time, right? So that girl, I probably scarred her for like 4 or 5 years at least. I'm sure there was another – there are far better men than me that came along and helped her out. But like in LeBron's worst moment, he still raised $3 million for charity.
Yeah, I'm still thinking of that poor girl that, one, she had to, her first real sexual experience was with you, and then the whole bang and the mole thing.
Guys are assholes.
I mean, yeah, no, you're definitely way worse than LeBron anyway.
Big time, for sure. I'm probably not as bad as Stephen A. Smith, though, this puppet. This guy right here, yeah. Stephen A. Smith. All right, so Stephen A. Smith is kind of leading the charge. So everyone is behind Stephen A. Smith
for
on this.
Real.
After the game, he just sat here and he also went on Twitter. He's like, "I am done with the NBA on this. Draymond Green suspended, hiding behind a flagrant one. This is some straight BS. Absolute travesty." That's his Twitter, and it's got like 22,600 likes, 24,255 retweets.
Well, it's just everyone's on the Warriors bandwagon. I mean, it wouldn't even matter what he was writing. If it was pro-Warriors, like, that's just how it would be. They're not even paying attention. Really.
But it's so crazy. It's like, and Stephen A., so we talked about this before. It's like, half the time he's a puppet. He's getting his strings either pulled by Mickey Mouse, or other times it seems like it's like the ghost of Malcolm X because he turns into like a violent racist almost.
And other times it's Slim Jim. Which is one of the weirdest.
He's in like Ben Roethlisberger's belly or something, yelling out to whatever it is.
Big Ben's got quite a belly. He's a fella.
See, that's a sketch that we should do on the Daily Upper Decker. We should get a Stephen A. Smith impersonator, and then like pretend that he's in like an offensive lineman's belly, like more in and out. This is a Travis State. All right. Anything else we want to say about Draymond Green before we move on? I just think it's this is what I think should happen. And I don't know whether or not like the guys at Jackass get a hold of him, but they should like pin him up against the wall and rifle off like a paintball gun into his nards, like right into his pebbles.
A true eye for an eye, or
right here you go, because maybe
a ball for a ball, if you will.
I like it. Yeah. Hashtag it. Ball for a ball. but this is something that it's a genuine possibility. Maybe no one's ever told him that hitting a guy in the balls hurts. Maybe he's never been hit in the dick.
That's just some classic like grade school recess bullshit. Like I can't.
Accidentally run into the tetherball pole while you're going out for a
no.
Post
there was
route.
Always that guy, and there was the one kid that always liked to ball hit. And you're just like really,
or the gym teacher. Well, what's up, Draymond? little nut tap.
Well, you know that's how he got through school. You know.
Don't tell anybody. I'll get you in the East Lansing.
It's true. It's true. I'll make you drink the water. Another water joke. Wow.
The hot mess.
Two Cleveland Indians last week went down after taking a baseball to the testicles. The latest one was Juan Uribe. Did you see it?
I can't believe you didn't preview this show earlier. This is the Nutshot special.
If we have to do a rerun, if I'm out of town or something, we're going to rerun the Nutshot show.
It's all about it. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Ow my balls. Welcome to Ow my balls.
How are my balls? I like that.
Mike Judge, ahead of his time. This is the Ow my balls special here on the Daily Upper Decker.
Right. Sorry. No. Yeah. I like the how are my balls, but ow my balls.
Ow
yes,
my balls.
Yes.
So Juan Uribe, Cleveland Indians third baseman, takes it, and they clocked the speed. It was a ground ball off the bat of Mike Trout, who can plow my sister. Ground ball off of his bat, 106 miles an hour, one hop to his balls.
She takes the road, the path less traveled, I believe.
She takes the ITT Tech graduates. You know, Mike Trout, you know, just the greatest baseball player on the planet.
Oh, you're that big a fan.
No, oh, he's amazing. Yeah, really? Even Katie, even my wife loves him.
Really?
I think that it's she's that's close. Like, we have a Ryan Reynolds clause in our marriage to where if she ever runs into Ryan Reynolds, which is possible because we live out in Los Angeles, if she runs into Ryan Reynolds and says the right thing, Blake Lively's being a bitch, whatever, and they want to go to the coat closet and bang one out, like, she has my permission to do that. But I think that Mike Trout is a close number two. And I think it could change.
Sounds fishy.
So me, like, I always get her, and she was like, well, who's yours? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I'll call her when I'm on the road from, like, an Indianapolis Applebee's. Mm. Like, I just found my Ryan Reynolds. No. It's the hostess.
Carly. Yeah.
Carly, the hostess at Applebee's. She's a little chunky, but it's been a while. So anyway, Juan Uribe takes a ball to his nads.
Right.
And just
did
like,
he go down?
He goes down.
Oh, okay.
And here was the thing. Like, this wasn't like a walk it off special. Like, he was down on the ground for minutes. Mm-hmm. And then when they got him up, like, he needed to be, like, supported, like he had just torn his ACL.
Were they evaluating if it was a flagrant one or a flagrant two?
They were not.
Oh, okay.
Mike Trout got to stay at first base. So they had to bring the cart. Like, you know, the cart.
Oh, really?
Like, let's say, like, Yogi Berra was still alive and he was going to throw the first pitch. They would bring him out. Drive him on that cart. So they had to bring the courtesy cart out for Juan Uribe and cart him off the field like that. And, you know, the Indians announcers are great. Like, one of them was like, don't hit any bumps on the way out. You know, it's so they interview Juan Uribe afterwards, and they ask him, did you wear a cup?
Wow.
And he said, no. What? So then they were like, well, do you want to wear one from here on out? His response is, Juan Uribe said today he doesn't wear a cup because the trainers don't have one in his size. Then he said, I'm serious. So, you know, if you're in a fantasy big dick MLB player league, Juan Uribe is a must own at third base.
That's interesting. It's funny how this kind of stuff comes out. Now, you having played baseball, and I tried to avoid America's game there, but
well, you're Canadian.
Mostly because
you're Canadian. Your parents had money.
But who wore a cup? Like, did people wear cups?
You did.
Did you have to? Was there like a cup checker?
No.
Like, one of the dads came by. Oh, no.
So I got
a little soft there, on Ted.
I played 1 year of that happened in swimming, in high school swimming. I wasn't in swimming, but the stories of, like, the coach coming around and, like, goosing the fucking swimmers. Jared Fogel.
I would have been dissuaded from swimming.
Yeah, I didn't sign up for that. So anyway, I wore a cup, eighth grade football. They're like, you know, you should get a cup.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'll get one. But it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world at that point. Now they're better. Like, if you wear a cup now, it's like you're almost wearing like boxer briefs. And you just slide the cup in. I had, like, the jock strap.
Right.
Like, you know, the white.
The classic jock strap with, the bands around the ass cheek.
Yeah, it was more like a pyramid or a triangle. Right, so, no shit, you're not going to wear a cup. Yeah, but now it's highly recommended. Like, they're, you know, it's comfortable to. And that's not comfortable, but it's way better than what it used to be. But even if you see in football, have you seen how many players, like, if they're running in slow-mo, so they're, like, they've got the super slow-mo cameras, and you see them on Vine throughout the NFL season. I'll send them your way once they're up. But you see all of these players, like Frank Gore, running down the field, and you just see flop, 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 flop. None of these players in the NFL, if there's any sport where you should be wearing a cup, it's probably hockey, and then second would be the NFL.
I believe hockey, they still mostly wear cups.
You better.
Yeah.
You better. Yeah. That.
Well, because that fucking puck will take your dick off. There's no question. Shit. Take it from It'll a Canadian. Rip it.
Take your dick off, man. But in football, like, remember Vernon Davis a couple years ago? It's before he was on the Broncos, 49ers. He's playing, and I just remember him, like, turning over in pain. And when they showed it in slow-mo, his 12-inch monster hog is just flopping, and the defensive back reached out and totally, that's how he tackled him. Just grabbed him, down he went. So in baseball, if I'm playing the hot corner, I'm wearing a cup. If I'm a pitcher, probably not, because that's just getting in a way that's too funky of a motion.
Yeah,
most
you're
of the time.
Right there, though. You're in firing range.
Catcher, you better be wearing a cup.
I think catchers is, but they're like squatting, legs open. Like, anything where you're like running, like, I bet the catcher takes it out when he goes up to bat, right?
Maybe. You never see, you know how they wear like the other gear and stuff, and like they get to first base and they start taking off their elbow pad?
What if they move the cup to the elbow? Maybe it's a versatile piece. It's just like, I just slide that up on the old elbow. Now I'm guarded in all the right places once again.
The bat boy comes out and he's like handing him his batting gloves, his elbow guard. Here's my cup, kid. Here you go. So just in case you're wondering out there who's got one of the biggest dicks in MLB, apparently the answer is Juan Uribe.
Nuts and dicks.
Big dick player.
All right,
moving on here in the hot mess, another baseball story, Pete Rose. So I know you don't follow baseball, but I've always told you that the greatest baseball player I've ever seen is Ichiro.
Right.
Ichiro
right.
Suzuki. Like a literal, Mike Trout has the potential to get there, but like this is literally a five-tool player.
And Ichi didn't even have, you know, he missed out on some years here. You know, he came over relatively young, but still.
Right. You know. Well, so that's the thing. In Japan, he had 1,000, I believe it was 1,278 hits over in Japan. So he's got 2,977 right now. So he's 23 hits away from the 3,000 club in MLB, just in MLB. But if you add his Japanese hits, he's one hit shy of Pete Rose's all-time MLB record. So people are starting to say, like, you know, well, maybe we should count his Japanese hits. And you know, he'll be the all-time
really
hit king.
Right.
So what do you think Pete Rose had to say about that?
Well, first, I think one interesting point of fact is that, you know, and maybe not everyone knew this, is that the Japanese actually put jock straps and cups on their shoulders as part of the uniform. Yeah, no extra protection. You know, they're always worried about Godzilla and stuff. So it's, you know, there's a protection is at a premium. And And they're, you know, they're smaller framed. So, you know, in some cases, like Uribe. Uribe. Thank you.
Uribe plays for the Marlins. Uribe plays for the Indians.
Oh, are there really two of them?
No, there's not a Uribe.
Oh. you know, Uribe, the cup that doesn't fit him, that one size, you know, goes nicely on
shoulder
their shoulders.
Shoulder pads, yeah.
It's kind of like an 80s look for them.
Well, based on, like, some of these, like, first pitches I've seen thrown in the Japanese league, like, they had one a couple weeks ago where it was the ring against the grudge. So, like, the bad chicks.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's, like, a squirrel that it's like, you know, if you ever dropped acid, it's like your worst acid trip of all time is, like, a Japanese league first pitch. It's crazy. Make sure you check it out. It's the ring against the grudge, and there's some kind of like there's it kind of looks like the Chuck E. Cheese mascot, like plowed a squirrel. it's really weird, and they're all out there like clapping them on, like here we go. It's really messed up, man. So Pete Rose says the Japanese league hits should definitely not count, because he said, and he basically just shit all over the Japanese league. His response was, there are too many guys that fail here and then become household names there, like Tuffy Rhodes. How can he not do anything here and then hit a record-tying 55 home runs in 2001 over there? It has something to do with the caliber of personnel. So he basically just called the Japanese, you know, baseball league. I think it's the Nippon Professional Baseball League or something over there. Just basically said it's pure dog shit.
But Tuffy Rhodes is a very memorable name. Like,
of course it is.
I mean,
it was his real name was Carl.
Carl Tuffy Rhodes.
Carl Tuffy.
Come on, man. Like, that's a great name. I'm going to remember that. Fuck you, Pete Rose.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
You
know what? Pete Rose can go hang out with Draymond Green. And they can go punch each other in the dick.
That's another guy. I bet you Pete Rose gave a nut shot to somebody, like a catcher at home plate.
He is. Actually, you know what they are of? If you know, and look, you know, Pete Rose, I loved you know, the hustle and the striving, like, what an interesting character. But, I mean, like, he definitely, all appearances are, that guy tried his ass off whenever he played fucking baseball. So, and you know, and I think Draymond Green is working all angles when he's playing hoops. So, you know, they might have a lot in common.
Yeah. Moving on here in the hot mess, let's talk some hockey.
Oh, yeah, eh?
Well, you're from Canada, so you're going to be our NHL expert.
Oh, terrific.
That makes you our NHL
terrific.
Expert for sure.
Automatically. I love it.
So the Pittsburgh Penguins, congratulations.
Yeah.
Took out the San Jose Sharks in six games. So that is their fourth Stanley Cup since the 1991 season. So in the last 1990-91 season, That's four in the last 25 years.
And I'm just kind of glad that fucking Bay Area didn't get another title, truthfully. Like, Jesus Christ. It's kind of like, it's not as bad as when, like, when Boston was on a whole run, like with New England winning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the
Bruins won, the Celtics. Yeah.
They were all
Red
fucking
Sox
winning.
Won three,
I was just like, God damn, they're the worst people to keep winning this shit. And right.
Because then they sit there and cry when they lose the AFC Championship game. And it's like, relax.
Yeah.
Like the night the Cardinals lost in the World Series against the Cardinals beat the Rangers, but they lost against the Red Sox in, God, what was it? Anyway, they lost the World Series to the Red Sox. And there was a Cardinals fan that was like at the bar. And he's like, duh. Or it might have been like the Giants beating them in the NLCS. And he like put his head down. He's like, ah. Oh. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it, man. In your lifetime, the Cardinals have won three, maybe four World Series titles.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear it. You know, if you're a Bengals fan, a Browns fan, and you lose in the AFC Championship game, or, you know, if you're an Indians fan and you lose in the World Series, it's like, ah, I get it. You haven't seen one in your lifetime. But the good teams, like the Patriots. So the Patriots, they're the cock of the walk in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Penguins, that's four championships now in the last 25 years. Only the Detroit Red Wings have won as many in that time frame. So what do you think? Where does that put them? Like, is it top 10 sports franchise over the last 25 years?
They're pretty solid. And, you know, and they have, you know, a couple. Like, they have, I mean, think about it, too. Like, well, you have Super Mario, right? Like, Mario mm-hmm. Lemieux, who's now.
Didn't even beat NHL teams. He beat cancer.
Yeah, and then he also beat NHL teams.
Yeah, that's a tough dude right there.
And he also outplayed Gretzky at a certain mm-hmm. point, too, which is pretty amazing.
And then they both went into ownership after that, and right. Lemieux won a title, and Gretzky hasn't even come close.
You know, and actually, Lemieux might still be the better golfer, though. I do love me some Wayne Gretzky. So
you once golfed in front of him, yeah, and he said he had a nice shot. Of course you're going to side with him there.
He actually said, great shot. Great swing, and I heard it from the great one. So I mean, it does not get too much better than that on his course on a really tough hole. Anyway, but with Mario, yeah, like just the way they've done it, it reminds me a lot of the way the Denver Broncos are. You know, like a really pulled together
three championships in that same time frame.
You know, like it's just organizations that do it right. And of course, you know, it's actually one thing when you can. You know, there's a lot of parity in the NFL, but it's the favored league now. It's tough mm-hmm. to, like, in the NHL, when like the smallest community in the world, Canadians, uh-huh. love it so much, but it just doesn't have all the same exposure and appreciation. Even though it's like it's such a cool game, like mm-hmm. I truthfully. Watch very, very little hockey, you know, during the regular season. The playoffs come.
You're not the only one, my friend.
The stakes are impressive, but it's fucked up that it's on, like, NBC, NHL special channel.
Right, NBC Sports, yeah. Where you watch, like, the Spartan race. You got to watch the end of the Spartan race, which is, like I could sign up for the Spartan race and get in.
Come
so you
got
to watch the Spartan race just to, like, make sure you're on time for
you're
the.
Like, you're not even on, like, regular cable. You yeah. got to have, like, a really good package to get fucking the playoff hockey, like, you know. Anyway, it's kind of whack. But, no, I would think that they should rank. It's interesting. Because it should be, I think it should be considered in the realm of all the great franchises of our considered
so yeah so
sports.
let's go back 25 years
right.
I would say they're definitely a top 10 franchise. You have to pull out the Red Wings and probably the Blackhawks now and the Penguins.
Well, they've picked up right, like the mm-hmm. Blackhawks, you know,
right.
they had a good like a very competitive spell, we'll say, in like the early mid 90s mm-hmm. but you know, then
they closed the deal like the last they, like yeah, six yeah, seven
yeah.
years yeah
they're a bit like you know, the San Francisco Giants in baseball. Like, suddenly they were just every other year they
right.
were fucking showing up and playing some good hockey. But
that's another team to add into the mix. So when you're looking at, like, the top 10, like the Giants,
I do so
the
begrudgingly.
Yankees, yeah.
But,
all right, real quick, so we yes. can move on. What do you think? Where do they sit?
Oh,
greatest sport franchises of
the
last 25 years.
And it's not just, to me, it's not just wins, it's not just championships. It's like the composure of the franchise in general and, like, the coolness that Lemieux is like at the head of the new generation of the goodness of the franchise. I don't know, man. Like, they're definitely like
I'd say number nine. I put them at number nine.
They're top 10 for sure for me.
Like, number nine.
And I might draw. I would go six. I'm going six.
Six.
If nine
That's
was
the Canadian
six.
Coming out. Yeah. 69. Yeah, all right. I get you. One of the teams that isn't in the top 10 now in the NHL. It's not even a top 10 NHL team, but it's definitely not in the top 10 of the greatest sports franchises of the last 25 years. However, it's still probably ahead of the Cleveland Browns. We're talking about the new Las Vegas hockey team the NHL.
Do they have a name?
They don't yet. So now get this. So the dude, he's not getting like the team from Miami. He's not getting the Florida Panthers, right? They're not moving there. He's getting a brand new team. So the NHL is now going to have 31 teams. And we talked about this before where the NHL doesn't even need 30 teams. The NHL needs to drop down to maybe 20.
Strip it down,
yeah,
maybe.
Take a third of the teams out. So now there's going
to
be 31 teams. Guess how much
needs
this
to be
dude.
Like the Bada Bing of fucking pro sports leagues and just strip it down.
Right. It should be the WNBA or arena football. Like arena or lingerie football has like, what, six teams?
See?
That would be amazing.
Lingerie hockey? That would be something.
Yes. See, now we're getting somewhere.
No, I mean, it's a brainstorm now.
All right, so the dude who bought, and again, this is sources saying that Vegas is getting the team. So the dude who bought him, guess how much he had to drop?
And I really have no idea about this. I caught it in a glimpse of the television a little bit earlier. I'll say $150
million. $500
million. Okay.
$500 million. That's how much he had to drop, and they're going to play in like the new. I guess they built that new arena down at the south end of the strip, so that's where they're going to.
Where UNLV is now going to play, and they'll finally get some players again.
Probably,
yeah,
that's going to be great.
Should, huh?
And I think actually, like we should road trip it out there for a UNLV game one time.
We really should actually.
I guarantee we'd get pretty sweet seats. We're a sports blog out of Los Angeles. We want to cover the UNLV Running Rebels this year.
Oh my God.
Front row,
instant fame.
I'll be in the hot tub with the dude who's fixing games. It'd be great, dude.
That's my image. It's the Tark. Was he in the tub?
No, he wasn't. But Larry Johnson was.
Okay. It was the crew. But Tark was
the players that mattered. Yeah.
I don't want to see Tark in a tub. Actually,
no, not at all. Not especially now. He's a corpse.
Yeah.
So all right. So this is the first time the NHL has expanded since 2000 when Minnesota and Columbus paid. Guess how much?
All right. So they paid.
This wasn't a team.
$250 million.
$80 million.
They paid
$80 million. Yeah, so okay. Since 2000, 16 years later, $500 million to get a team. So Vegas is going to have a team.
Yeah, this dude knows how to make money, though. That's the difference. Like,
and he'll
Columbus,
get. I think
you can't fucking make any money on the team. Like, everything's cheap there.
Right.
Sorry, Columbus.
Well, no. And what's going to happen is like it's like if you go do a comedy show in Vegas, like what it is they make them part of like packages.
Plus,
so that's what's going to happen. It's all those seats are going to be accounted for on a nightly basis because
for
it's
those
like,
who can't go to Zumanity tonight. Why don't we send you to the Vegas Child Predators? I don't know what they're going to call it. What are they going to call it?
Well, let's do it. I say the Coke Benders.
The Coke Benders is funny.
The New Room Massages. The Vegas. What else? What if they were just called the Las Vegas Overdose?
I love it.
That's outstanding. That's
the
scary.
The Overdose
right there.
Versus the Avalanche? That would be a great
matchup. Wow. Which one's more terrifying?
Yeah, right.
I would say the overdose is more terrifying.
Overdose,
especially if you don't have one of those needles.
Yeah, right.
One of the pens.
Yeah, I like the overdose. Actually,
hashtag that. Yeah. We should be Snapchatting now.
What
if you were on like because you don't do you've sworn off social media.
What if
you didn't have anything but a Snapchat?
I do. I snap. I have a
Facebook won't let me put dick pics.
I have a username on Snapchat.
All right.
I'm relevant.
We should have done that. Las Vegas overdose. That's what we're going with. Anything better than
that?
This should be your new poll, rather.
Like you.
Yes. Coming up this week.
Come up with a name. And then we can really get some seats. Yeah. You could be like the guy that covers Las Vegas hockey.
Oh, unbelievable.
How preposterous does that even sound?
Can you get me a hotel room in Needles? Or like what's the last town? Prim. Prim. I'll cover you, but I got to stay in Prim.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Get me at Wild Bills or whatever it is. Buffalo Bills. Get me a room at Buffalo Bills. Some
Needles.
Residency.
Needles is, that's a rough town. Maybe we can go by the Mad Greek. Delicious shawarma.
All right, so that'll be our new poll coming up next week. We'll have that ready for next week's show.
That's a good one, right?
What should be the nickname for the new Las Vegas Hockey
Don't get
team?
All, don't make them all like dick punching names. Like, I like the overdose was good. Like, make it a good variety.
The Las Vegas Nutshots.
Because I think, and that's something you can really, it's something that could, you know, it's got to go viral, I think.
All right, last thing we're going to talk about here today. Last thing we're going to talk about, we never talk soccer. Never. We hate soccer here at the Daily Upper Deck.
I thought it was forbidden.
But we're going to talk about it today. We're not going to talk about the game. We're not going to talk about Germany beating Ukraine 2-0 in their Euro Championship. Nah. The big story was the German head coach, Joachim Löw, or however you pronounce it.
That sounds
He looks German. Correct. He looks like he's related to me, and that's the scariest part. So this dude, if you didn't see it, the German soccer coach – this is live, you know, in not only in the arena, but millions of people watching across the world.
I'm ready.
The dude reaches into his pants, scratches his balls. This is the balls episode here. We're balls deep in this episode of the Daily Upper Decker podcast. Scratches his balls and then all of a sudden sits down. And the first thing he does is like, remember Molly Shannon when she was that SNL character?
Yeah.
So he like scratches his balls and then... He does the sniff.
Wow.
So you're sitting there, you're like, wow, this is amazing. Like, you know, I get it. You're curious. We're human beings. We're curious, right? I've seen my dog like drag his ass across the carpet or the floor and then turn around and sniff it. Well, yeah, that's curiosity.
He's probably got anal gland problems, so I mean, you should look into that.
Right. Well, we don't have carpet anymore, so I think we're good. You'll learn real quick. The splinters will bring an end to that. So that's curiosity. So then when you think he's done, right? He's sitting there. He digs behind.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
No.
I'll show you when we're done. You can go to mandatory.com. Tommy Gimler.
That doesn't seem
the great
official.
Tommy Gimler
that doesn't
wrote
even
an article.
Like a real site.
Watch this German soccer coach scratch his balls and then smell his hands.
Well, that
so
I
believe.
Then,
so but then there's a second video. Part. He turns around, digs in his ass, and then starts rolling it.
No.
Kind of like Jim Carrey did in the Matthew McConaughey thing, where he's like, I'm done rolling this booger. Should I eat it or throw it out the way? So he's like rolling it, and then again he brings it up, and he just starts sniffing it, man. I'm telling you.
No.
Check it out. It might be one of the things that could be the first soccer story ever on the Daily Upper Decker. Just like you got it. Like maybe in the you have got to see this shit portion of tomorrow's story. We'll put that on there. It is unbelievably disgusting. However,
there's a however.
The title of the article on Mandatory was "Watch this German soccer coach itch his balls and then smell his hands."
All right.
So that was the initial title,
like a
right?
Long title,
right? But it's in the
I
world.
Think you
of,
told the whole story.
Correct. Well, now you know what you're looking
I know,
for.
I know. All right.
So there were two comments left on the story. This guy, Gnarly Charlie, owner-operator at Charlie's Automotive. So I'm getting a fucking grease monkey here. I'm getting
should we look it up on Yelp? Look it up on Yelp.
We should bring that. Oh, Charlie's Automotive. I can bring it up. So he goes, the term is scratch, you fucking idiots. He scratched his balls because they itched. Who runs this damn page? So the grammar police.
Finicky.
Yeah, a grease monkey out of all these people. The guy works at Charlie's Automotive, right? So that was the most disturbing part of the story, that he found that I'd put itched his balls.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you would say in everyday conversation. So I actually looked it up, and Gnarly Charlie from Charlie's Automotive was right.
I should have
used scratch.
Yeah.
So I changed it.
Itchiness is a condition, whereas scratching is
you do that to get rid of the itch.
Yes.
Yeah, right. But I just couldn't believe that a German soccer coach was digging in his ass, rolling around whatever he picked out, and then smelling his fingers.
It's called Aufstundschweißel.
So he's sniffing the Aufstundschweißel. And the most disturbing part of the story for this guy at Charlie's Automotive was the fact that I used itched in the title instead of scratched.
No, he's a real journalism hound.
That's unbelievable.
Out the good story, yeah.
But, you know, it worked on me. I was if you care about it that much.
Did you reply to him and say, good call?
No, I didn't even give him a like.
No, okay.
It's in Conroe, Texas, nonetheless. So an automotive shop in Texas corrected my poor grammar.
Or he loves his soccer. I don't know.
And then ironically, he calls himself the humble mechanic. this guy's very confusing.
Oh, I like him.
Charlie's Automotive, if you... You need a carburetor replaced, head on down to Charlie's Automotive in Conroe, Texas. Charlie, thanks for the shout out. Thanks for the for caring so much about my poor word usage on a site like mandatory.com. I think the funniest part of that story was the fact that he was so appalled by my poor word choice instead of the fact that a coach was digging in his ass.
What's the other comment?
The other comment is kind of made you homesick for your boyfriend, didn't it, buddy?
Oh.
So the dude's called me a homosexual.
Yeah, now's the time on Sprockets when we dance. that's it. Two comments.
which is a pretty good response for a blog article. You get two comments. It's pretty good. All right, man. Hey, great episode. The Nutshot Johnson episode here at Daily Upper Decker. Make sure you check us out online every single day. DailyUpperDecker.com.
Totally embarrassed.
You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and, of course, on Vine. You got any more, like, party nutshots?
I think you need to be more on the lookout because it does happen in soccer. I think you could actually find, there's a lot like the free kick.
There's so much acting, though.
No. When they try, when they're like, they have to build the wall. They're all shimmying around. It's kind of funny when that happens. And
the guy takes one in the stones,
then, yeah.
Yeah,
you definitely got some glorious nutshots in soccer. So all hail the nutshot.
All hail the nutshot. And I'll tell you what, Draymond Green, stop hitting people in the dick, dude.
Please.
You don't hit people in the balls, you asshole.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.